This morning's responsive read has come from Psalm 11. So if you would be so kind, if you desire to join with us, please turn there. I've entitled this particular psalm, a very short and sweet psalm indeed, just 7 lines, "I Put My Trust in God." It's found in verse 1. "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Actually, the question that is posed in verse 1 comes from our adversary. This is not ourselves talking to ourselves. This is the world's response when we tell the world that not only do we believe in the God of Scripture, not only do we believe in the Lord God Creator, once we make that confession to the world, and we ought to at times and seasons, depending upon who you're with, the context in which you're found, there are times when the child of God simply has to make his apologia. He makes his or her defense, or he at least speaks on behalf of the truth. And in this case, the psalmist begins by saying, "In the Lord put I my trust." So you tell the world, you tell lost friends and family members, that you trust in God. Especially now in the context of how our culture has lost all of its moorings. Everything that would keep things attached, everything has been cut and let loose like springs. They're popping away when it comes to our nation's moral fiber. And so you come along and you tell the world, despite all that, I will put my trust in the Lord. And then the world comes back looking at you and says this: flee as a bird to your mountain. Flee. Maybe we don't want you, we don't need you. If you're trusting so much, then flee to the mountain, like birds trying to escape maybe the fowler's net, if you will. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow." So this is the context. It says, "Flee as a bird to your mountain, fall, or because of the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot privily," or privily shoot, "at whom? The upright." Where? In his heart. How do you attack a person in their heart? Well, we're not talking literally. I think here it's figuratively speaking. When we go out and come in contact with the unbeliever, they're not carrying a literal bow and a literal arrow. And as soon as you begin to make your apologia, or you begin to make your defense on behalf of the truth, they automatically put an arrow in your chest. No, no. But how do they do that? Well, they normally do it with slander. They do it by putting words in your mouth that you've never said, or accusing you of actions you've never done. Or they question your motives. See, really, the only person who can truly judge any one of our motives is God himself. Because at times our hearts can be so deceitful, we can think we are motivated on a just cause or for a worthy endeavor. But at the same time, beloved, we could be in more sin than what we even think of. And so this is the unbeliever. They are the ones who look at you and I when we tell them, "Oh, I'm trusting in the Lord." Well, then be like a bird and flee to your mountain. And then they, metaphorically speaking, the psalmist, who was quite equipped with a bow and an arrow, he was a very skillful warrior, he uses the imagery of a bow and an arrow, and the arrow being the cutting words, the malicious words, the lying words of the wicked. And then he says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Well, if we're in a culture today that enjoys simply cutting people down and lying left and right, as we've seen during the recent COVID catastrophe, where now, a year or so after all of that commotion, now things are coming to light on all the lying and all the intimidation that was done simply to control the movement and the thinking of people. During that 2-year, 3-year period, beloved, we had people becoming enemies within their own family, enemies within a particular church family, because there were those who said, I'm not going to wear a mask, and there are others who said, well, if you don't wear a mask, you're not being a Christian, you're not being loving. Jesus would wear a mask. It's amazing how they know what Jesus was going to do if he was here with us during the COVID pandemic. But then notice how the righteous person is fixated. The Lord is in this holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I think verses 4 is the believer's response to the question of verse 1, the assault in verse 2, and the goal and the aim of the wicked. What is the goal and the aim of the wicked with his arrows? He wants to destroy the very foundations and the very basis of biblical morality, biblical truth. Simply dash it to pieces. Whether he uses fake science like evolution, or whether he uses a fake philosophy, whatever the world wants to use as its arsenal of words. Have you noticed today, beloved, words have no meaning. We don't know whether you're a male or a female. And if you use the wrong pronoun, you're going to be scolded. We've lost the foundations, the decency, morality. We've even lost our sanity. We now live in a world of make-believe. We live in a world of Alice in Wonderland, created by a certain group of individuals who want to create a world where God does not exist. Verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. How long have you been taught that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin? Well, not according to verse 5. Here's another one of these verses in the book of Proverbs where it tells us exactly how God thinks and feels, if I can use the word feel, towards those who are the wicked. He loathes them. He hates them. But the wicked shall be upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone in a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. So notice, in verses 2, the motivation and the goal and the aim of the wicked is to destroy the foundations upon which the child of God rests and trusts. And what is God's desert for them? What they plan for the righteous is eventually going to fall upon them. And then finally, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. So irregardless of what the world does today in revising righteousness, revising the moral code, changing what's right, what's wrong, changing pronouns, changing genders, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He loves that which is right, right in his eyes, not in our eyes. His countenance doth behold the upright. So then the upright, hearing all of this, goes back to verse 1, and he continually says, in the Lord put I my trust, irregardless of what the world and my enemies may say or think about me. Well, in the end, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.